Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the way of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And God will seal this reading from his own most precious word, the word of the living God that lives and abides forever. The opening of chapters in the Bible and the beginning of parts of the prophets and the Psalms and the Gospel call for our careful and peculiar and special meditation. This Psalm number 1 introduces the great Psalter, the book of Psalms of the Old Testament, and what a book it is. Note carefully that God calls his people to a special and peculiar work of praying. But before we can pray, we've got to walk. And before we walk, we've got to examine where we are walking and how our soul is. This first psalm is the psalm that opens the Psalter for us, opens this Old Testament book of worship and praise and thanksgiving. We will never exhaust it. When you've been 10 million years in heaven, you'll not have exhausted this book. When you have read it and reread it and sung its words in the depths of heaven's glory, you'll not have exhausted it, because this is the book of the worship of the Lord God Almighty, and it's inexhaustible. But notice, it starts off with a blessing. There are some Christians, and when you meet them, they start off with some old story that they must have found in hell, because it's not a story that brings either credit to God's people or to the church of Jesus Christ. But here it says, oh, the blessednesses. This word in the Hebrew text is in the plural. to see some Christians, you think God has blessed them once, and then he has lost the key of the place where he keeps his blessing, and he never opens it up. And there are some people, and I, when I see them, I hasten away, because they do not bring blessing to your soul. They bring complete sorrow to your soul. And then there are other Christians, and when I see them coming, I'll say, thank God, I'll have a taste of God's honey from this fella when he comes, and I rejoice that that is so. Oh, blessed is the man, and this man, it has a negative side to his character. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. This man has to be looked at and rejoiced in, because he's walking in the glorious path of separation unto the Lord. How happy is a man whose God is the Lord. But this man is a delightful man. There are some Christians, and they're not a delightful at all. To look at them, you would think that the whole world of troubles have come to them. And when they went to the post office, they couldn't get their pension. That's the way they look. Miserable people. When I see them coming, I run. I say, I don't want to be tarnished with that stick. But there are other Christians, when you see them come, you say, thank God. There's a smile on their faces. There's a joy on their heart. There's a song on their lips. There's praise to God upon their tongues. Oh, to have the praises of God in the tip of our tongues, rejoicing in the Lord. And would you please note that the second verse brings us into the realm of delight. When last did you give your face a lift? When last did you give your face a lift? Or when you stand at the mirror, do you almost wait to hear the crack of the glass? Oh, it's a terrible thing to see sinners for hell, for damnation and judgment, rejoicing. And God's people who are for the land of the Father's house and for the joy of the Savior's palace are miserable. There are Christians, and they are what Mr. Nicholson used to say, they are vinegar Christians. Vinegar. And the vinegar must have been the cheapest vinegar that the seller of the chips could have bought. He must have went all round Belfast, and he must have knocked on every door and say, have you any rotten? Have you any rotten? I've lost a word. It's so bad. Yes, what did you say it was? That's right. There's a woman's keeping her teeth in anyway. Yes. What a privilege to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Look at this verse, would you? His delight. This is a delighted man. Some Christians, when you meet them, you think they were carrying all the troubles of the world upon their shoulders. And they look so terrible. And then they say, shh, did you hear about Mrs. So-and-so? No, I don't want to hear about her. If you have nothing good to say about a Christian, say nothing, shut your mouth, and throw your false teeth away. Yes, my friend, I am called to delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law to meditate day and night. And then, notice that this particular garden that's growing is a garden that God Himself has planted. He shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, to be a prosperous believer. A believer with a leaf that brings forth the fruit. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God wants us to enjoy Him. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And we've been called to that tonight as we come to this time of prayer. What an introduction Psalm 1 is to the book of Psalms. What a door it opens. What a tremendous vision we get of the hills of glory and of the greatness of God's creation, God's redemption, and God's providence. Oh, we should stand up in the morning and sing a hymn of praise to Him. When we reach lunchtime, we should return thanks to God. When we come to tea time, we should be singing His praises. When we finish the meeting and go home to our beds, we should rejoice in our beds. You pick up your Bible and find out how many times you read in the Bible about men being in their beds. You just have a look at it. Would do you good. Keep your false teeth tight, because you might lose your teeth. And then that would be terrible. You wouldn't be able to scold your wife. If you lost your teeth, there'd be no strength in it. So may the Lord help us tonight to rejoice in the Lord. There are some people that we need to pray for. We need to pray for the bereaved. They need the comfort of God. We need to pray for the sick. They need the healing of God. We need to pray for those that are in darkness, that they may have the light of God. So as we come to pray tonight, cast away all religious jargon. Cast away all religious talk, and let's pray as honorable men in God, seeking the Lord while He may be found, and calling upon Him while He is near. And I trust you will pray for the sick ones. My son's wife's father has had a very serious operation today. He has been at the very depths of darkness. And I trust that as we pray, we will remember him and his wife and his family, and his daughter and his grandchildren, that God will touch him and heal him. Christ is a great healer. He's the healing Christ. He's the one who can call men from darkness to light and from the power of death to life. So let's pray and let's lay hold upon God. And let's pray for this city of ours, this country of ours, and this time that God has given us work to do. May we do it as unto the Lord.